Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and it's my delight to be with you again today. I appreciate you following the podcast. I appreciate you tuning. If you are a first-time listener, well, thank you very much for tuning in, and I hope that you find this as enjoyable as I do. I hope that you find it informative, that it applies to what you're doing, and if you find this one good, there's a bunch of episodes on the website. Go back, check those out. Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, wherever you are, they're all over the place, and I'd encourage you to go back and check out some of our previous episodes. For those of you who have not subscribed to the show, I'd encourage you to do that as well. That way you don't miss an episode. We've got them coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, and it's all about you, providing good quality content for you, getting some good individuals in here, some great guests who have knowledge to share. They're the smart people, and we are going to learn from them. My guest today exactly fits that bill. He's a smart person. His name is Alex Miner, and he is either a superhero or a villain. He's not exactly sure which of those it is, but he's got a level of creativity that it might even be a mutant power. So he's decided to use that for good in the world, and he joins me on the show today. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, my friend. I appreciate you joining me today. So you are the chief executive officer at I Am Media, or is that how you pronounce it?
Yep, I Am Media.
All right, so tell me about I Am Media. What is it and what do you do?
So we are a video marketing agency, and if you've never heard of that before, basically take a video production company, a digital marketing agency, smash them together, and you get something like us.
Got it. So you're not exactly like your friendly neighborhood videographer. Is that what you're...
Yeah, exactly. Because here's the thing. Most videographers, they come in with a camera of whatever type. It might be an extremely nice and shiny camera. Might cost, upwards of 10 grand, depending on the level that you're playing at.
Right.
But they're going to come in and say, okay, what do you want to shoot? And that's not what we do. We want to work with people. We want to find out what their goals are, because that's going to dictate what we shoot and the kind of tactics that we employ to create content for them. Videographers are great. There's a lot of them out there that have a great skill set, varying degrees, varying levels of the game. There's people playing at all levels. But us, we are not just about getting great images. We want to tell great stories, and we want to tell those stories in the most effective way possible to drive you closer to your goals. And that might be, doing a brand story video. That might be doing content on a constant basis, month by month. That might be doing internal videos for your business, training material. It just depends. I got a client that we just brought on who is launching a training platform for commercial real estate agents. And so we're recording all the content that he's going to be putting on that platform that he's creating. So lots of different stuff going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like what you're explaining to me, because what you're saying is, like, a videographer is a guy who has skill with a camera, okay? And that's good and that's valuable if you as a business owner have kind of the plan as to where you're going. But you're exactly saying, you're coming in and you're saying, okay, if you have a plan, let me work with you to make sure that that plan is properly developed. And if you don't have a plan, let me work with you to make sure that we're developing something that is going to help your business get to where you as a business owner want it to be. Is that proper understanding?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Because what happens is a lot of business owners, they say, I need a videographer for X. And they go looking for the lowest price, right? Because everybody likes a deal. But the problem is, a videographer who is just about videography or just about filmmaking, they're not going to be looking at the content they're creating for you with a marketing mindset, with a branding mindset. I very firmly believe in building brand. I don't really like doing... I mean, commercials are great. You can make them amazing. I've seen some Oh man, you wouldn't believe some of the work that I've seen done with like a $500 camera. It's insane to do a commercial. But I'm not about commercials. Like, I can do them. I've done them for clients. I want to build your brand. I want to build your business. I don't want to just try to sell the widget. Like, I want to sell you. By selling you will sell the widgets.
Yeah, and again, what I'm hearing you say is just because you can get a camera that records in HD and 4K and all that stuff, if you're putting, I don't want to insult anybody with this, but if you're putting up garbage material, if you're putting garbage material out there in 4K, just because it's in 4K doesn't mean that it's great material. You're working,
Exactly.
it's important to have high quality content that is telling the story of your business. And
Right. And it's also to have a important to have a framework to judge what high quality content is. 'Cause high quality content and is one of those phrases that doesn't exactly make me cringe, but it's misused or overused all the time. Because the thing is, you don't decide what high quality content is. Your audience decides what high quality content is.
Right.
And a lot of folks get caught up or get roadblocked or prejudge themselves because they think high quality content is X, Y, Z. And that's cool. If you're the audience judging somebody else, then yeah, you get to determine what high quality content is. But if you're not the audience, then you can't say what the high quality content is because the content's not for you. It may be about you, about your brand, but it's not intended for you. You already know all about you. You need to let everybody else know, and they can tell you whether what you got is gold or garbage.
Yeah. Okay. So I live in the world of analogy, and my deal, what I'm thinking is that it's kind of like being the cook in the kitchen, right? In which you can make the food that you like to eat, but you're not, that doesn't necessarily match what the people at the table want, right? And so
Exactly.
what you're trying to do is create something that has, that appeals to your audience's appetite. And just because you might think it's good, or just because, you know, you've got your wife or your, you know, your close social circle says you're amazing and this is wonderful. There's another step to it in which you've got to figure out what is the appetite of the people that are at the table and how do I make something that appeals to them?
Right. And the only way that you're gonna figure that out is through experience, through experimentation. I mean, you hear all the time people talking about, oh, this video I did went viral, or this picture I took went viral, this post went viral, and I thought it was nothing. Do you
Yeah.
see what you see how all those, and I know you heard a bunch of those stories,
Right.
because the factor that strings them all together is that the person who created it didn't know what it was. The
Yes.
world told them what it was.
Yeah, and it's a matter of you're getting the feedback from others to say, we like this. And you got to then do the work to figure out, okay, what was it about that they liked and how do I replicate that?
Exactly. And that takes experimentation and that takes patience, which a lot of people do not have. But one of the most unfortunate things about being in the content creation world as a provider, as a vendor, as a partner, well, no, the people that I consider myself a partner with, I feel very fortunate to be partners with. But as somebody who's looked upon as a service provider, a potential service provider to other people, a lot of times the first thing that people ask about is, well, how do I know I'm going to get ROI on this? How do I know I'm going to make money off of this? And it's like, if that's the first thing that you ask me, you're not ready.
Right. And ROI, you mean return on investment, right?
Yes.
Okay. I live in a world where we all swim in different alphabet soup, so I want to make sure that we're talking common language, my
Yeah,
friend.
return on investment. And I get it, like as a business owner, because I work with businesses primarily,
Sure.
small businesses, entrepreneurs, coaches, people trying to build their personal brand. Those are the types of people I like to work with. And I hear it, I don't know, so many times it's that ROI conversation. And it's because people are viewing this as a transaction. They're viewing it as a cash machine. They're not viewing it as an investment. A video strategy for your business is an investment. Like like, unless you're trying to create a commercial, it's not a transaction. You're not going to put money in and get an exact amount of money out. It's a long-term play, and you got to be willing to play the game.
Yeah, I think that what you said there is really important, and that is it's an investment. And this is kind of – there are people out there who are day traders, right? They get in and they invest in this hot thing, and they – make a lot of money in one day, and then, you know, sometimes they lose a lot of money in one day. But this is, you're looking at a long-term investment strategy in which you're hoping to put something in that is going to more than pay for itself in the long run, but it's not going to happen immediately. I want to transition a little bit, and you're talking about developing video content, and you're talking about doing video marketing. Now, as people are doing this, there's got to be a, you know, a venue for them to place their marketing out there. And, you know, there's all types of options available. Are there any that you would recommend for business owners over others, or what are your thoughts there?
Well, if you want to play the organic game, then two big places to be right now are LinkedIn and TikTok, because the organic reach on both is still really good. Even though and people would be really surprised, because even though LinkedIn is an older platform, it hadn't really turned into a social media platform until the last few years. I would say within the last 5 years. So because before it was like that businessy site, it was that resume site, and it was that job hunting site, recruitment site, and it still is those things. But now there's a whole world of content creation, networking, and other things that are going on there. There are people whose entire businesses are built on LinkedIn. And the thing is, it's not to the point where you have to pay to play yet. Actually, for most folks, I would discourage them from doing paid advertising on LinkedIn, because the organic reach is so good. And because the ad product, I haven't used it myself, but my wife, she does digital advertising as well. And for the company she works for, she's had to run a lot of LinkedIn ads, and she just told me they're a waste of money. And plus, all the people that I respect as marketers tell me they're a waste of money. Although I just discovered one person whose entire business is running LinkedIn ads, so there's something going on there.
What you're saying, though, is it works for somebody, and you just got to figure out who that, if you're the person that it works for. And let me just, again, for clarification purposes, you're talking about organic and pay-to-play, and what that, can you just give us a thumbnail sketch of what that means?
Okay, so here's the thing. A lot of people don't understand how social media works at its core. Okay, when you, we'll just use Facebook or Instagram as an example. If you've got 1,000 people on your Instagram account, right, or 1,000 followers on Instagram, you put up a post. Instagram is not going to show that post to 1,000 people. It's going to show it to maybe 100. And then depending on how many engage with your content within a certain window of time, Instagram's going to decide, okay, this content is working or this content sucks. If the content's working, they're going to show it to more people in your circle. And it's going to keep going in iterations like that, with them testing your content to see if it's working. And the better it performs, the more engagement it gets, the more people it's going to show it to. But when it gets to a level where it plateaus, they're going to say, okay, we're going to stop pushing this. It's done what it's going to do. And then it's going to disappear within 24 to 48 hours. I mean, it's not going to leave the platform, but they're going to stop actively showing it to people. Okay. And that's how all social media works at its core. Those algorithms, you always hear people talk about the algorithms. They're basically the system's way of testing to see what content works, because they want to keep people on the platform for as long as possible. So they don't want to show garbage content that nobody likes. They want to show content that has been getting reactions. So that's why the more likes you get, the easier it is to get more likes.
Ah, makes perfect sense. So in talking about, you talked about the pay-to-play game, where you're paying for advertisements. One of the places that people talk about ads all the time is Facebook ads. Yep. What are your thoughts on Facebook ads?
Still a great place to be. I got a client who's tripled his business this year running Facebook ads.
Okay. And do you have any tips or suggestions for people that are running Facebook ads? Because I think very much the same way that you can lose a lot of money doing LinkedIn advertisement, you can lose a lot of money doing Facebook advertisement. Is when you're doing that pay to play, is it a long-term investment strategy, or is that more of a short-term investment strategy?
It depends on what you're doing. there are ways to make it a short-term strategy that can be very effective, but it depends on what your, it depends on what it is. It depends on what your goals are, right? There, and this is, first off, if you're going to work, if you're going to run ads on Facebook, make sure you're actually using the Facebook ad platform, which is different from boosted posts. A lot of people say, a lot of people assume or come to the conclusion that Facebook ads don't work because they run boosted posts. Facebook is making a ton of money off of people who don't know anything about running ads,
okay,
because they added that boosted post feature to pages and stuff. And so people will say, oh, I made a post on my Facebook page, let me boost it so I get more engagement, or so I get more views, yada, yada, yada. But then nothing happens for their business. It's because the feature set of boosted posts is very, very limited compared to the full-fledged Facebook ad platform. So first thing, if you're going to run ads on Facebook, make sure you're actually running ads on Facebook and okay, not doing boosted posts. Secondly, work with somebody who knows how to develop targeting strategies. Because here's the thing. Facebook is the Illuminati. It is Big Brother. It is everything nasty that the government says it is, because it knows everything about us. We gave it our information.
Right.
Right. And so it knows things about you that you don't know. And the machine learning on the platform is very sophisticated and can be used to very, very accurately target the people that you need to get in front of. But you have to know how to manipulate that targeting. And there are guys who their whole thing is developing targeting strategies, because if you're not targeting the right people, it's not going to work. You've got to get the content in front of the right people. So you have to know who your ideal client is. You have to know where they are. It's just, there's a bunch of information that you can put in there to tell Facebook who to target. And then it can go off to the races and try to make you money.
Okay. Yeah. It makes perfect sense, because they know so much about everybody, and what we as business owners really need to figure out is, okay, who do I want to get in front of? And then how do I tell Facebook this is who I want? Does that make sense
at all? Exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Most people are doing a spray and pray type deal with their Facebook campaigns if they're not working with somebody who ads is what they do, which is why, and I mean, you can learn. There's tons of YouTube content out there. There's tons of articles, tons of tutorials that will teach you how to run Facebook ads. But it's going to be a process. It's going to be trial and error.
Yeah, and what I have found in that is generally there is a learning curve, and it's a steep learning curve, and it's also an expensive learning curve. So
it can be.
As you're doing this and you're investing and you're playing around with it, it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you as you do this. Whereas if you start working with someone who knows what they're doing, now you also need to make sure that just because you bring in somebody who says I'm the greatest at this, doesn't mean that they're going to actually do this. You need to be able to know what your expected results are and to move forward from there. But either way, there's an expense that goes with it.
Right. And just be realistic about the fact that you're probably going to lose some money, because when you first start running ads, even if you're working with somebody who runs ads for a living, there's a chance your ads might not work right off the bat. Like, almost nobody gets it right straight out the gate. Even marketers who have been at it for years and know the Facebook ad platform intimately, know any ad platform intimately, you're going to get a goose egg every now and then, or you're going to get an ad that works for a while and then all of a sudden tanks and you have no idea why. But you've got to have that person who's monitoring your ads and checking them, you know, every few days, every week, so that they will watch for those trends. And that reminds me, I need to check some ads for a client. Yeah. And they watch for those trends, because no ad lives forever.
Sure.
But
I was just going to say, part of it, though, is brand building, right? Because there are billboards out there, right?
That's another strategy that I love with Facebook ads that a lot of people don't think about. So to go, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just get excited about this stuff.
Sure.
So to go back to what we were saying about how social media works. So running ads is the unlock, right? So because with regular social media, people have to choose to follow you. They have to want to see your content. They have to tell the system, hey, this is somebody that I want to see. Or with LinkedIn in particular, the way their algorithm works, sometimes if somebody you know likes content, even if they didn't repost it, it'll show it to you because that's how LinkedIn works. And that's one of the reasons why the organic reach is so dope. But going back to Facebook or Instagram, they're only going to show your content to people who already follow you or in the feeds of people who are friends with somebody who follows you and reposted your stuff. Ads allow you to get in front of people who have no connection to you. So it's a great way to build brand by running content simply for the purpose of getting more eyeballs on it, just for building your brands. I've had people explain to me brilliant strategies where they can use a piece of content that they didn't even make just to get eyeballs on that piece of content to see what kind of people like that type of content, and then use retargeting strategies to target those people with their real stuff.
It makes a lot of sense, Alex. I'm wondering, like, do you have tips for people that are creating the content? Like, as far as if you're trying to do organic, mm-hmm. Do you have some suggestions either A, as to how to make sure that you're appealing to your target audience's appetite, B, how to make sure that it's, you know, getting in front of eyeballs that are liking it, and C, what platform it needs to go out on, or is there a suggestion there?
Okay, so if you're determined to go the organic route, the first thing you need to do is have patience, because it's going to take time. You know, that's what organic reach is. It's organic. Does an orange grow in a day? No, it takes a whole season, you know? So you got to have patience, because that's the first thing. If you don't have patience, it's never going to work, because you're going to quit before it gets a chance to work.
Sure.
The second thing is, you asked about platforms. You have to sit down and think about what kind of audience it is that you're trying to cultivate and where they hang out. So if your audience is younger, they're probably on TikTok. They might still be on Snapchat. If they're in their 20s, early 30s, they might be on Instagram. If they're like 30 and up, Facebook. If they're more business focused, if they're only doing social media for business, a lot of them are probably and they're like a professional, they probably hanging out on LinkedIn at least a little bit.
Okay.
So you've really got to consider what kind of environment the audience you want to cultivate is in, and you got to go there and you got to learn the platform and the rules of the road, and you're only going to learn that by experimenting. So, you know, the other question you asked was how to figure out what your audience likes. Like, there's no one way. Like, you have to figure it out. So you've got to try a bunch of things, throw it at the wall, see what sticks, and do more of that.
Okay. I'm curious about this, because you're a video marketing strategist, and I would have thought a video marketing guy is going to go straight to YouTube.
Oh, I love YouTube.
Okay. So it didn't initially jump in your list. Do you have any
quick
tips?
Most people suck at YouTube.
Okay. How do you get better at YouTube? And is it that, like, try it out and experiment, or do you have any, like, are there
patience and learn the platform? Okay. The reason most businesses suck at YouTube is because they approach YouTube like it's a normal social media platform. It is social media, but it's also a search engine. It is the second largest search engine in the world.
And it's owned by the largest search engine in the world, right?
Exactly. And so a big mistake that I see specifically when it comes to businesses or entrepreneurs not knowing how to maneuver on YouTube, they get this mind. A lot of business people get this mindset of, I want to use YouTube, but I don't want to be a YouTuber, so I'm not going to learn about YouTube.
Mm.
But you need to know the things that YouTubers know if you want to be successful on YouTube. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be successful helpful without using all the types of strategies and tips and tricks that YouTubers know, like the dedicated hardcore YouTubers know. But you got a lot better chance if you do.
Got it. It's not necessarily insider knowledge, but it's the fact that there's a reason why the people who are making a living on this are making a living on it. And the reason is that they know what they're doing, and you can get in there and you can put up a lot of content, but if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you're not going to be able to be as successful as they are.
Right. So another part of marketing that a lot of people invest in without even really knowing what it's doing is search engine optimization. So I just said that YouTube is a search engine. You got to optimize your content for the search engine.
Right.
And plus, the other thing about YouTube is if you want to get content that you create to rank on Google, rank it on YouTube. It's so much easier to rank a video than to rank a website.
Okay. And it's a lot faster too, if I'm not mistaken.
Way faster. There are guys who can get your video to rank in a day.
Right. Cool. Listen, I can probably listen to you talk all day and learn from you all day, but we are running short on time, my friend. So if people are looking to find out more about you, where can they find you on the web or social media? What's the best way to contact you?
Look for IAM Media, EYEAMMEDIA. That's IAMMedia.com. IAM Media on Instagram. IAM Media on LinkedIn. IAM Media on Facebook. And you can also look for The Alex Minor, THEALEXMINOR. That's on Facebook and Instagram. And just search, regular old Alex Minor on LinkedIn. And I'm on LinkedIn a lot. That's probably the platform that I'm on the most, although I am desperately trying to get my groove back on Facebook and Instagram. It's just like my bandwidth has been scattered with this whole COVID-19 mess, but I'm trying to get right for the new year.
Cool. Hey, listen, I really appreciate all the information that you shared. I'll put all the what you've given to me in the show notes and make sure that people can easily access you. You've been fantastic. It is now time for my favorite part of the show. We are going to do three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
I don't know, but we're going to do it anyway.
All right. What would your 10-year-old self think about what you're doing today?
I would probably think it was pretty cool. I don't know, 10-year-old me. I can't really remember what 10-year-old me was like, except that I really like superheroes. So the fact that I still like superheroes would make me want to hang out with me, because I'd be like the cool older dude. And I mean, technology is always cool.
Hey, you know what? As long as you can be, let me tell you, as an older guy, I am way cooler in my mind than I am in anybody else's mind. So that's the way it goes. All right. What is the one meal from your childhood that just makes you feel warm and comfortable inside? Whether it's your mom's or grandma's, or what's that one thing that says, if I could just have this, boy, that's my favorite go-to meal when I was a kid.
Favorite go-to meal when I was a kid. Now, when I was a kid, I was eating crap. So it probably would have been Kraft mac and cheese with hot dogs cut up in it.
It's so funny that you say that, because like my recollection is when I was a kid, I would eat that kind of stuff and it was like, oh, this is fantastic. And now I'm like, how on earth did I survive on that stuff, man? It's terrible. But the gourmet nature of Kraft mac and cheese with hot dogs cut up in it, when I was a kid, that was awesome, man.
Yeah.
So
me and my sister hardly agreed on anything, but we agreed on that.
Nice. Last thing, and that is, if there is one thing about your parents that you would have as something that people knew about you or recognized you and said, that is something he does just like his mom or his dad, what would that one thing be?
I think my mom I'm trying to be more like my mom. My mom had like this almost never ending well of patience. I do not, but I'm trying to be more like that. I have a daughter and a son. My daughter is going to turn 8 in January. My son just turned 5, and I am, dear Lord knows, I'm trying to find more patience for them.
Yeah,
because they do not deserve to suffer daddy's bad moods.
I hear you loud and clear. Listen, patience is something that we could all do with a little bit more of, and a little bit more patience in the world would probably stop a lot of the issues that we've got. So fantastic. Listen, Alex, thank you so much for being on today. I appreciate it. I hope folks check you out. Check out all your website, the social media you're working on, and you're doing good stuff. And I really feel like you've given us great content today. For those of you in my audience, I appreciate you listening today. I hope that you have learned something important, and I will remind you as always that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.